Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked. O God, depart from me, therefore. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee, and am I not grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His most holy word. So Psalm 139 is a psalm that speaks about the attributes of God and their comforting application to the people of God. Notice that there are several attributes mentioned here. God's omniscience, most certainly, when the psalmist David says that God knows our thoughts afar off. He knows that which is upon our tongue, even before we say it. He knows not only us in the most vulnerable and lowest part of the earth, right? That is, when we are at our weakest, when we are first conceived. And He knows us in all the continuance after that, as long as our lives shall last. He knows us no matter where we are, if we are in the uttermost parts of the sea, or if we are in the grave. And so we see then this close communication, as we've talked about before, between the Lord's omniscience and His omnipresence and His omnipotence. All of these things are brought together in this psalm. But note that rather than it being far-fetched or hypothetical academic exercise for David, thinking on the Lord in this way, that truly all of the attributes upon which he meditates here draw him into a very comforted position, because he is by faith, or he has by faith, taken hold of the mercy of this God who is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. And so David has a particular confidence that all of the good things that he, or all of the divine things that he speaks about concerning God, are indeed brought to bear for his good. And so at the beginning of the psalm, David invites, and this is a faithful invitation, David invites the Lord, at the end he invites that searching. At the beginning, he says, "Thou hast searched me." And so he compasses the psalm with the undeniable fact, the undeniable proposition that the Lord knows very intimately his people, and that the knowledge that the Lord has of his people is to the people of God a comforting knowledge. It's not a knowledge that makes us to tremble and to fear, for we serve not the Lord according to a slavish fear, but according to the love and devotion of sons and daughters. So that's the overview of Psalm 139. The psalm has been used in a lot of different ways. It's been used as an understanding of the true biblical personhood of those who are not yet born. Those of us who have spent time either presently or in times past talking to folks about the Bible's view of children that are not yet born, still in their mother's womb. Psalm 139 is one of those passages that we turn to speak to them about the conception of God, how God conceives of those unborn children, and that they are indeed persons and loved and the workmanship of God. So Psalm 139 shows that. Psalm 139, as we've said in a few strokes, also is a theological psalm in that it reveals certain of God's attributes. And so we learn from that. We also learn that who God is and what God is, it's what we are not. And so David, at some point, at least once in this psalm, kind of takes a step back from all that he said. And he says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful to me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." And can I just say this, that this is how you tell the God of our fathers, the God that we worship, from the gods of the world, the gods of the world, the gods of the heathen. Because those gods, they look a lot like human beings over and over again. Our God is holy. That means He is separate. He is not human. Oh, I know, our Lord Jesus Christ has taken to Himself a true body and a reasonable soul and become a man. And all of that is true. But that is not the essence of who Christ is. Christ would have been God into eternity if He had never done that. Let's make sure we get those things straight. That it is not of the essence of God to be like men. And yet, every idol that indeed are the work of men's hands show the marks of that workmanship, because they look more like men than like our God. Our God is different. Our God is holy. Our God is not comprehended by us. His ways are past finding out. And Psalm 139 calls upon us then to join David in a confession of our own finitude and our God's Godhead. So there's that as well. There is also the great care. And like I said at the beginning, there is this concept of of the mighty right arm of God condescending to us to be, notice what it says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. And so the picture that is painted there is of an adult reaching down to his child and holding his hand and keeping him in the path as they go along the way. And so note the great comfort that David expects from his God, because God has condescended and reached down gently like a father to his children to hold his hand and to lead him in that way. See, all of these things come breaking into our thoughts when we stop and meditate upon Psalm 139. David calls upon himself and those of us who are listening by way of example to praise God for His greatness and His condescension. Right? So I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And then David says some wonderful things. He says, my substance was not hid from thee. We talked about God's omniscience a few moments ago. God knew when we were but a zygote. I don't know. Can we go back farther than that? A fertilized ovum. You know, how far back would you like to go to your own physicality? To the nanosecond of your conception. You weren't hid from God. Even then. You were hid from your mother. You were hid from your father. They had no idea. Neither did anyone else. Except God. Except God. Yeah. And not only were you not hid from God as if He were a casual observer knowing, but He's the fashioner. He's the one who has built you, knit you together, weaved you together is literally how the Hebrew reads. It says, thou hast covered me. The word covering is used there in the translation because covers are knitted together. And so, David then says, where can I go except you're there? And the implication in all of that point of the discourse is that God will be there, not just there, but there to care, there to comfort, there to guide, there to lead, there to provide in all of these things. And so Psalm 139 is a wonderful psalm about the greatness of God's care over His people from their earliest days into eternity. Now, toward the end of the psalm then, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Notice how wicked a sin it is to use the Lord's name for vanity. Then he goes on to say this. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. This is, again, a very strong imprecation as we see David speak it here. But notice that this imprecation comes on the heels of what we have already heard. That same God that has knit David together has knit these wicked ones together. That same God that knows David's uprising and downsitting, He knows them as well. That same God that has sustained David all these years sustains them. And what do they do with all that God has done for them and with the kindness upon kindness upon kindness that rains down upon them? They take His name in vain. And so David is grieved. He is grieved with what the wicked do in refusing to acknowledge God. And there is a righteous hatred that rises up in David against those who would blaspheme the name of his God, by whom he is fearfully, wonderfully made and sustained. But notice that in the midst of that, that perfect hatred that David calls upon, and perfect there, tamim, upright. Notice also what David says. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Even in this, God, search me, know my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Notice what David does here, and this is, I suppose, how we'll close. David does not limit his sniffing out of evil with those that blaspheme the name of God. No, he desires them to turn that sniffer inward, if you will. To turn it upon himself and to see if there is any wickedness in him that needs to be rooted out. My dear brothers and sisters, I think perhaps the former may come all too easy to us, and the latter all too difficult. For David, I believe, it was not, at least as much so, that David begins the psalm with, "Thou hast searched me and known me," and ends with a confident expectation in God's mercy such that he would say to God, "Search me and know my heart." And we might add to this, and here's the implication. For what purpose? For what purpose would God search David? He already has. So that he would make known to David if there is any wickedness in him that must be rooted out. Oh, to have a heart like that great King David. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer.